This is Talking Business. I'm joined now by Mike Hughes, who's the Managing Director of Landbridge Australia, and also the Darwin Port and Westside Corporation, which is an oil and gas business in Queensland. G'day, Mike.
Great to be here. Hi, Alan.
Now, interesting kind of situation for you because you've had a long career in oil and gas, working for Hess Corporation, the American energy business, for quite a long time. Got a job with Santos. Went across to Westside to be CEO, and then, blow me down, they were bought by this Chinese company called Landbridge. And you find yourself running a port.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of interesting. So I went to Westside to get some experience running a public company, which I hadn't done before, and only managed to do it for 9 months before we were taken over. So some very happy shareholders, but only 9 months experience as a public company. So. And then Landbridge bought Westside and...
Who is Landbridge?
So Landbridge is a private Chinese company owned and run by the founder who set the business
in Shandong, right?
20 years ago, that's right, in Shandong. So before Westside, all the business was actually based in Shandong in a city called Ruzhou. Only 3 million people in that city, by the way.
Tiny. It's a
very small
it's
city
a village.
In China. Exactly. So Westside was their first overseas purchase of a business.
Right. And then they bought Westside and then they bought the Darwin Port.
Yeah, so they bought Westside and asked me to stay on and grow the oil and gas business, Westside. But they also, or the owner also asked me to look for other opportunities in Australia that fitted within Landbridge's core business areas, which are basically ports. So in China, they have, in Ruzhou, they have what is the largest private port in China, I believe, which is about, size-wise, is about 30 to 40 million tons per annum.
Sounds like Darwin Port possibly fits better with their business than Westside.
Well, and they have an energy business, so they have a refinery, which sits just outside the port gate in China, and some petrol stations. So they're in energy, but this is their first move upstream into upstream oil and gas. And they have a real estate and tourism business. They build apartment blocks, hotels. So again, in Ruzhou, they have a 500-room, five-star hotel, convention center on the beach. So if you're in Shandong province, let me know and you can go and stay in the hotel in China.
I'll certainly do that. So Westside actually sells gas into the Santos business you were running, doesn't it?
It does. So it,
which is the GLNG business.
The GLNG project, that's right, which is selling LNG to Malaysia and Korea and South Korea.
Right.
So we now also sell to the domestic market. So just late last year, we announced our first sale to Orica, actually, in Gladstone. So we're now selling both to the domestic and LNG business.
Right. And where do you get the gas from? Is it coal seam gas?
It's coal seam gas. So we have a large gas reserves closest to Gladstone, actually, in a little town called Mara, just west of Gladstone. And we are lucky in that we're both connected into the LNG system or directly into the GLNG pipeline, which goes right past the gate. And we're also connected into the Gemina pipeline that runs straight into Gladstone and connects back to Wallumbilla. So we can sell directly to both markets.
Before we get on to the port, what do you think of the Australian gas market? I mean, it seems to have been a mess. This is just as an observer. I mean, I'm not obviously involved in it, but it seems to be like the gas price has gone up. We seem to have been exporting too much of our gas, and we haven't been finding enough of it in New South Wales and Victoria.
Well, that's because we're not allowed to explore for it in most of the country.
That's what I mean.
In Queensland, there's a very active, so we're exploring and producing in Queensland. We've grown. We're now producing four times as much gas as we were 4 years ago, 5 years ago. The fundamentals are the cost of producing gas has gone up significantly. The days of producing $3 gas are long gone. And this gas, even if we never had the LNG plants, this gas would never have been produced and sold for $3 to $4. It simply costs more to extract. So the gas price is, you know, now is in a world where it's going to be in the $8 to $10 range for gas. But in Queensland, there's a very active oil and gas business operating. It's just unfortunately it's really the only state other than Northern Territory now post the removal of the fracking ban that where oil and gas activities moving forward.
Oh, is there much in Northern Territory to be found?
There's a lot of reserves in the ground in Northern Territory. And as I say, they just lifted a ban on fracking about a year ago now, or 6 to 12 months ago, and exploration is restarting and off they go.
So then you've got to get it down to Melbourne and Sydney. Is that a problem?
Well, there is a pipeline connected that the Northern Territory government stimulated getting built, which connects into Mount Isa and down to the rest of the market. But Darwin's also now a very major LNG exporting port in its own right with the conclusion of the INPEX project. So, Darwin's now exporting about 12 million tonnes a year of LNG. So there's a very big LNG opportunity as well in Darwin.
So how's the port business in Darwin?
The port's going well. So stepping back, I mentioned that when the company bought Westside, they asked me to look for other opportunities. I was actually in Darwin looking for oil and gas opportunities when the government talked to me about the port, when I explained who Landbridge were. So it was actually contrary to a lot of what
You were talking to the government about
oil and gas,
and they said,
we've got
a port you might want to buy.
So to say, contrary to what a lot of people think, I actually brought the Darwin port idea to Landbridge rather than this being driven by China.
Right.
And we, three very, very simple reasons really that we like the Darwin port investment. One is Darwin's quite an unusual port in its multi-product. There's huge diversity. So we export minerals and a range of different minerals, manganese and iron ore and into the future lithium, phosphate. So a whole range of minerals. We're a big LNG export port, I just mentioned. We import fuel. We have containers. We're the third busiest cruise ship terminal in Australia. So there's a huge diversity of stuff going through Darwin Port.
So you've got container cranes and a passenger terminal.
Live cattle.
Live cattle.
So it's a busy wharf. Not that range of stuff. So, diversity, and I could talk quite excitedly about the potential for all of those areas. Clearly, if only one or two of those things really take off, then the investment will be a good investment. And the second reason we like it, again, which, there's the rail line between Darwin and Adelaide. So Darwin is really an underutilised supply chain for the rest of Australia. So again, if you go and talk to anyone sitting in Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane, the issues are congestion in the cities, the difficulty of getting stuff into and out of the ports, given they're right in the city centre. Well, Darwin has none of that and has this existing supply chain.
So you're talking about freight up the GAN?
We're talking about freight up the rail line.
Up the GAN.
And out the port, or similarly in the port and down to the rest of Australia.
So is there much freight being taken up the railway line now?
Not a lot.
No.
Not a lot. So
it's all about white tablecloths and Chardonnay.
On the gun, yeah, as you say. Look, mineral exports go up the railway line and out Darwin Port. But if we take containers, for example, very few containers go up and down the rail. And that's what I'm talking about, which we believe is a long-term opportunity to build that supply chain route. It's 8 to 10 day sailing closer to Asia. It avoids going through the Barrier Reef. You know, there's a whole range of strategic reasons why we think long term that's got potential.
But would you need to have a direct railway line that doesn't mean that it has to be offloaded in Adelaide or something?
It all connects.
It's fine.
Yeah. So that's not an issue. And up in Darwin, the rail line comes right onto the wharf, so you can literally lift containers off straight onto the wharf and straight onto container ships.
So does the owner of Landbridge, it is an owner, is it one owner of that business?
Yeah.
Does he, is he looking for other opportunities in Australia? Are we looking to grow here further?
We're keen to grow. So at the moment we're very much, the oil and gas business, we've been invested in significantly. So I mentioned we're producing four times what we were. We've put a lot of money into that business. We also have some oil and gas in New Zealand in the Taranaki Basin, which we bought a couple of years ago. So that business is growing. Darwin Port, we've been investing in the port and are looking at long-term expansions of the port. But we're also looking at investments outside the port gate that will help grow the Northern Australia economy, the Northern Australia story. So that's perhaps working with export companies where we might invest in their supply chain or logistics to help get their project to market. And we're also building a Western hotel in Darwin, which if you've been to Darwin recently, you'll know there's a missing piece of infrastructure is a very nice luxury hotel in Darwin.
Well, I did live in Darwin for a while, but I haven't been there for ages.
Okay. Well, come in 2022 and you can stay in the Western Darwin, which is in a great position in Darwin, right on the waterfront, right next to the CBD, will be a real, real benefit for Darwin.
Now, over the years, there have been many attempts to develop Northern Australia around Darwin, you know, the government creating funds and the Northern Australian corporations and so on. Is that ever going to work?
Well, clearly we believe so. I think, there have been a number of goes. I think actually having now some private companies, so GWA run the rail are private, obviously we're private, I think will help move this forward in that it's not all dependent on government money being put in. We're very, very hopeful that this will happen, but it's not going to happen overnight. This is a 20-30 year strategy, really.
What do you think the industry, apart from coal seam gas, fracked gas now, what sort of, as you look around the Northern Australia, what industries do you think?
Well, as I say, I've mentioned minerals. There's a huge range of minerals to export, agriculture and aquaculture. So there's a very large prawn farm being developed up in just west of Darwin. Onshore gas, we just talked about lifting the frack ban. There are huge reserves in the Northern Territory. And whether it's just straight exporting that gas or gas processing industry that can be built up around that source of gas.
I actually did have in mind that prawn farm, sea farms, which will presumably go through your port.
Well, that's one example of a company that we're working with to see how we might help invest in their supply chain to help get that project to market, but that would also then bring it through Darwin and expand the volume going through Darwin Port, all ultimately brings down the price of using Darwin Port.
Yeah, right. Well, very, very interesting. Thanks very much, Mike.
Pleasure. Nice talking to you.
I've been talking to Mike Hughes, who's the CEO and Managing Director in Australia for Landbridge.